Welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Yes, Paul, that just means that this is probably the first time you've tuned in this early. Each and every time we do the show, we always do that intro. So, there you have it. Well, good morning again. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show. Fantastic Fridays. We've had marvelous Mondays. Oh, goodness. We've had just thankful Tuesdays and midweek Wednesday motivation with Mr. Hershey Walker. And then we've come back and Thursday, we had fantastic Thursday. And now we have reached finally Fantastic Friday. Well, whether you're off today or whether you have to work, it is still a fantastic day leading to the weekend, where some people have traditional type of workplace where we work Monday through Friday and we're off on the weekend, and the weekend becomes me time, becomes our time to relax, retreat, revive, do some things that we do not get a chance to do during the week. So whatever you do, have fun, make it happen for you. And just want to say good morning to InfoRhythms and Paul in the chat room. Good morning to those of you who are listening via my website, because we know some people go and listen to the show via the website. You can listen to the show. It is posted on Twitter and Facebook. You can also click those links and listen. So there are many ways for people to listen to the Coach Lalisa Show. Also, for those of you who are also listening via the switchboard, and make sure that next week the 800 number will be back. I know some of you are wondering about the 800 number. And I must say good morning and welcome to all and any of our new listeners. If this is your very first time listening to the Coach Lalisa Show, I would like to personally, this is Coach Lalisa, welcome you to the show. Rah, rah, rah. We're so glad you're here. And I would like to thank those who welcomed you or told you about the show. I see we have several people from the North Carolina area listening. So good morning, good morning, good morning. Well, good morning. Well, today we are closing out our week-long topic of bullying in the workplace. This has been a earth shattering topic, so to speak, for this week on the Coach Lalisa Show. It has drawn a lot of attention, and I've even seen now that other shows who are also here on Facebook are also now tapping into this topic, especially those empowerment coaches, those people that are in the business of empowering others, especially those at work. And this subject is really, 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 really big. It's really, really big. I do have a few more people that I have to call even and contact them to get their stories. Get their stories. That'll be going actually into my new book, where I'm going to be helping people who are going through workplace bullying. So today, Friday, our show is going to go a little longer today. So please feel free to raise your hand. You can get to a quiet spot. If you have a comment to make, please call in 347-945-7991. That is our number, 347-945-7991. Now, the other thing that you need to know is if you have an opportunity to text someone, to let them know to tune in to the show today, or they can always go back and listen to the archive. Well, it is snowing here on the East Coast where I am. We got about 7 to 8 inches of snow, so we don't know. It is still snowing. I don't know what the rest of the day is going to bring. But today I'm working from home anyway. But here's the thing. Okay, we've been talking all week about bullying in the workplace. We've looked at some statistics. We've seen how 58 million, roughly, there's about 58 million American workers have been bullied in the workplace and or is still being bullied in the workplace. That turns out to be about 1 in 6. 1 in 6 American employees have been bullied in the workplace. Mr. Paul did share that some of this is happening in other parts of the world. Also, we've learned that 70 to 80% of this bullying is women against women. That is amazing. Yes, there it is very unequal who gets bullied, males or females. So the research shows that women are being bullied more than men. Dr. Gamey, G-A-M-I-E, him and his wife, they were psychologists. They have been studying this for a while now, over 10 years. This is not something brand new. It's been going on, but it's been swept under the rug. It's that silent cultural defect. You hear years ago how people began to say that so-and-so came from a dysfunctional family. About like 15 years ago, we began to hear that term to describe and explain why some adults' behaviors and emotional states were off balance because they said, well, they were brought up in a dysfunctional household. Well, something similar is happening in the workplace. You could have worked in a dysfunctional work environment where bullying, things like bullying in the workplace, have gone and run rampant, where upper management allows it if they are not the perpetrator. See, more than likely, if upper management is allowing it, there is probably some others at the top that are the perpetrators. And you say, well, Lalisa, why would you say that? Well, here's the thing. Again, this is an area that I've studied for the past 12 years, being a human resource major. This is what we study, human resource. Human resources looks at 5 major disciplines, and that's psychology, political science, anthropology, sociology, and there's one more, but definitely those 4. So psychology, sociology, anthropology, and political science. Even with the HR department, as you're studying that degree, you're going to consider all of those disciplines and philosophy. You're going to study all of those disciplines because HR, human resources, resources of human beings. Human resources, unlike the financial department, the finance department goes out and gets money or other finances for the company's resources so that the company can build plants, hire people, do whatever they need to do that would cost money, invest in the future of the company. Well, the human resource department uses humans as the resource to accomplish the organizational's goals and objectives. So if you have HR department, human resources, that's what they do. So if you're going to have people working in a company, you're going to need to know their psychology, you need to know sociology, how they work together in groups. Any department that's one or more, that's a group or team or group. If you work with people, you want to know their background, where they come from, cultural differences. And so that's where some anthropology would come into play. Political science deals with how people interact with each other. Okay, political science, how we help one another. Okay, so all of these areas, you know, come into play. Philosophy, you know, we look at how things ought to be. So the human resource department is very, very critical to this whole concept of bullying in the workplace. Now, let's talk about something else for just a second. I'm going to throw this out there at you. The workplace over the past 10 years has expanded. It has expanded. It's no longer in a cubicle or in a factory. Today, people work in their car, so to speak, with their BlackBerries and all their other gadgets. And they also work where? From home. So, can you bully an employee who works from home? Or is working from home the solution to end, to eradicate workplace bullying? Oh, well, let's see. We'll see in a minute if that's true or not. In other words, if an employee opts to work from home, will that end workplace bullying? Now, in the company, you have the top and you have layers. You have layers in the company. So CEO, VPs, or CEO and other CEOs that report to the CEO, because you have the one CEO. Then you have the other CFOs and the CIOs and the C. Now you even have these chief empowerment officers. Companies are actually giving a high-level title and position and pay to individuals to come into the organization and empower the people. Oh, I remember that song back in the day. You got to get more power to the people. Well, companies know that if the people have power, it can, not necessarily will, but it can launch your company into great states of great profit and revenue and service to your customers, your clients, your consumers, whatever you call them. So you have at the top CEO and all these other levels, and then you got managers and supervisors, and then you have your staff. Yeah, I work in training at the company that I work for. I'm a trainer, and I work closely sometimes with HR, and I'll say to them sometimes, you know, staff, management, well, is it management, staff, too? Yeah, they are. They work. They all work. We all work for the company. So, essentially, yes. But we call them management, and we call everyone else employee. That's interesting. Well, I guess you need some type of way to distinguish between their level of authority, because managers do have a level of authority, although everyone in the organization has levels of responsibility. And so here you have bullying going on. Well, the culture of the organization either rejects or accepts or ignores bullying. Those are the three things. promote it and that kind of thing. You could totally flat out reject it. Your organization could have a zero tolerance. If it's discovered, that person will be dealt with and probably, you know, ushered out of the company. Or you could just ignore it. You know, act like it's not happening. Look, turn the other way, so to speak. That's what they call that. However, the culture of the organization could be one where everyone is supportive. There are some companies where the minute you get hired there, they team you up with a person senior than you, may not be your supervisor, maybe someone else. They will send you to a class, and you will have to, they will teach you how to map out your career development plan with that company. I was actually invited to speak at an organization where the employee actually gets reprimanded if they do not have an upward mobility plan for themselves. I thought, wow, that's awesome. Here's a company that has turned the pyramid upside down. They're saying, we will respect you more as an employee when we see that not only do you want to go up, but you have a plan to get yourself there through networking, through training, through trying more challenging positions, through increasing your own self-confidence. And I won't tell you the name of the company. I don't want to put them out there, but because that may be something unique within themselves, and they had let me into the inside, so I got a chance to see it. That may be their one of their core competencies on why they're so big and why their company is doing so well. Imagine employees being fired because they don't want to grow. That's a change. And so I doubt that there's a lot of bullying going on in that workplace, but you never know. There could be some undercover bullies. But here's a company where in the fabric of the organization, the culture of the organization is that you want to grow into something better. So, but who sets this? Is it staff or is it middle-level management? Is it upper-level management? Is it the board of directors? Who sets this culture that says we will either build everyone up or we'll tear everyone down that gets in my way? Okay, it's the CEO. Not every CEO does this, and that's why some CEOs probably are being bullied themselves, and they need to, maybe the board of directors who hires the CEO is bullying the CEO. And they need to get rid of that board of directors. But the CEO, it is stated, and research shows that that's their job. That just like a budget analyst has a job to manage the budget, well, a CEO's job is to set the culture of the company. If you're in a company with a bad culture, don't blame so much your manager. Don't blame so much your coworker. It is the CEO that sets the tone for that organization. It's just like in a household. You have, let's just say you have mother, father, children. And even grandparents may live there and other family members may live there. Who sets the tone for the house? It is the father who is the head of the house. If the father is weak, then that throws things off balance. And now the mother has to step up. She doesn't have a choice and take charge. And so now you have some imbalanced things going on and some other dramas could come forth from that. However, if the rightful person who is in charge takes charge and does what they're supposed to do, everything just kind of falls in line. Everything is easy. There's a lot of growth, joy, and happiness. People are blossoming and growing. And now you can also make this happen, absolutely, even if there's no father per se. But whoever, the head has to set the tone. The households where the children are setting the tone is chaotic, for the lack of a better word. It is utter chaos in those homes. Even though it could go undetected, it could be subtle and undercover. But in homes where the children are running things, the house is chaotic. And that's what we call dysfunctional households. But whoever's at the top, whether it's grandma, mama, daddy, aunt, uncle, cousin, it doesn't matter. But the culture is set from the top down. And so in organizations where the CEO does not know this, because in some organizations, the CEOs were not taught this. I'll just put it like that. They may have management degrees. They may have gone. Some CEOs are in a position for a long time before they are sent or they have the mindset to go and get an executive degree. And here's what happens. Once they get that degree, they may already have gotten set in their personality or set in their ways. And now in order to change that, they may need to work one-on-one with an executive coach. And in that case, you just call me up. I'll be right there to help you out. So bullying in the workplace is something that the CEO has to get involved in. Or, so what am I saying, basically? I am saying that if the CEO does not get on the side to help stop it, it probably won't stop. And again, your organization may not call it the CEO. You may be in a nonprofit organization where the top person is called an executive director, or you may be work for a federal government agency where the top person may be called a chief or senior chief or master chief and these various titles. But it's still the person at the top, however you want to look at it. It is still whoever is at the top is setting the tone for your organization. So good morning and welcome. If you just tuned in to the Coach Release Show, good morning. If you have a comment or a question, please just hit your number one key and we will open up the phone line. Today is Friday. Friday, we also allow you to raise your hand by hitting the number one key and give us a shout out about your business. So that's what we also do. And then I will come back. I'm going to take this caller, and I'm going to come back and talk about cyber workplace bullying. Can you believe it? They will even get you if you work from home. Good morning. Good morning. Area code 301-706. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
I'm sorry. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, is this Lisa?
This is Lisa. Good morning.
Oh, I thought you said
301.
I'm sorry. You know what? I said 301 because in my mind I'm thinking Maryland. But it's 310. Awesome.
Okay, good morning. I have a question. I brought a friend this morning. Hopefully he was able to call in. And we both are wondering the same thing. At work, when you have coworkers, sometimes you build relationships. And we talk to each other and we try to keep each other's confidence. But some people will say something to one person, then turn it around against that person that they spoke to. What is behind that? What's the mentality behind that?
Okay, so for instance, let's just say you, myself, and people work in the department, and we have a manager or something, and you say you and I are having a conversation about some process in the workplace, and I say something, if we did it this way, it probably would work better. And you take that comment to the manager and says, Lisa thinks that the system we have here stinks or it's horrible, something like that.
Exactly. And it's always like it goes from something that may be positive and harmless to something that's volatile and negative. And we really, really don't need that, especially in the workplace. And it comes down to what we've been talking about bullying this week. When it comes back, like with the job that I do, I have to hold a lot of people's confidence because of the situations we deal with are personal. But then when we talk about just common things, some of the people that I talk to in general will go back and take something that's not personal but twist it to where it's like it's damaging. It's almost like to say, she's the reason this is a problem, when you're telling me about your problem with another person. then if I give you advice, you'll take it back to that person and say, I was the problem to begin with when I wasn't in it.
Hey. Yeah, Lisa. And welcome Freddie Lawrence also to the chat room. So here's the thing, though, just to get back to your comment, your question. Lisa, this happens all the time, has been happening for a long time, and I doubt if it's going to stop happening anytime soon. So, glad that you brought it up, because I talk about this all the time with various people that work, because it's going to happen in almost every workplace. I was just talking about this just like last week with a woman on her job, things that she was saying very innocently. But when you have a person, and so the person will take it to another group of people, they might just be sitting there having lunch or having a meeting. The topic comes up or not, and they talk about it, and they'll say, well, so-and-so said that this is stupid or whatever. Okay, putting a bad light on you, twisting your words.
Right.
And I've seen it happen, relates to the manager. So people could be talking about the manager, isn't this, or that. You could just weigh in and say, well, I don't think what the manager did was that horrible. Well, they could take it back and say, because all they heard you say was, manager, horrible. Because, you know, we have that thing called selective listening, too, sometimes. So they didn't hear the words, I don't think what the manager did was horrible. They just heard the words manager and horrible. They put it together in their mind, and then they go back and they say, oh, so-and-so thinks the management around here is horrible. Now, a manager hears that about you, and now they're thinking, well, who are you? So when they're ready for promotions, and they will maybe look over you or begin to treat you based on what they're hearing about you. Because now what they're hearing is that you're a gossip. You talk about people behind their back. And
that right there
could send, that's a poor leadership behavior. So now when I'm ready to select leaders, I'm not going to select that person. So it's almost like it could be termed that the person who is taking your words and twisting them is like sabotaging you, okay? However, they may never admit that they're doing it. So here's what I told the person to do. And this person, believe me, is an expert in this field. This is not a person on the job for the first time in their life and would not know all these things. This person also has an MBA, has been in the workforce over 25 years, and has had many management positions. But you see, when it happens, if it hasn't happened to you in a while and it begins to happen to you, you could be thrown off. And what happens, we don't realize that it's going to happen. So we get on the job. Most people, not everybody, but a lot of us are trusting too soon. We get a good job and we think, again, I forget the psychological term, where we put on others the way we are. We think they're like that. So since we know we would never twist anyone's statement, and since we know that we won't turn things around, we just assume other people won't do that. But it's so not true. I have seen, Lisa, the very person who comes to your desk or your cubicle or your office or calls you, knocks on your door, whatever, sits down and says, hey, how you doing? You say, oh, I'm doing great. Or, oh, I'm having a bad day. Oh, wow, what happened? That person sometimes is only there to hear what you're saying. They're like a tape recorder. They're recording what you say for one reason and one reason only, to spit it back out. That's it. They're not your friend. They're not even, like, on your side. They're just there for that reason. Now, did anyone send them in there to do that? No. Some people, that's the personality. And now why do I say that? Because if you saw them at church, at the other houses of worship, if you saw them at the grocery store, if you saw them at the rec center, wherever you saw them, they would be the same way. So what people, what I believe co-workers have to do is that we have to be more discerning of these kind of people. And when we get on these jobs, let's just say you could be 55, and this could be a new job. You could have had 18 other jobs in your life, or you could have had one job for 30 years. Here's a new, you got a new job. You cannot go on that job. And maybe on your other job, you were friendly with everyone. Well, you've been there 30 years, and you know everybody. You can't go on that job and start telling people and start talking, put it like that. And I'm not even talking about your personal business. You can't even start talking. This is what I, when I coach and counsel people, I'm like this. You go on the job, make sure that whatever comes out of your mouth, that's what you want your manager to hear and all of your coworkers to hear. That's what I tell people. As a trainer, when I train, I do new hire training. And in one of those training sessions that I do, I take time to tell. I don't assume that they know because they're 30, 40, 50, this is the umpteenth job. No, I don't do that. I tell each and every one of them, make sure that everything you say. But guess what? Many of them end up getting fired because they didn't listen. They didn't do it. They listened, but they didn't take heed. And they went back and they said stuff, and guess what? There was somebody waiting to turn it around.
You know, the sad part about that is if what was actually said is what is repeated, there would be no problem. But the problem is that the person will take that and put a negative spin on it. So I told it recently happened to me, and I told that person it won't happen again because everything I do now will either be in writing or in audio because I take notes a lot because I am putting a book together. So I always have my little handheld recorder, you know, taking notes.
See, and you know what, Lisa? That's a good point. Is that right? It's not so much that, you know, they took it back, but they twisted. So here's where we have to really look at this. And this is where I'm calling up these other psychological terms that are not coming to my mind right now. It's almost impossible, Lisa, for a person, I would say impossible, for a person to take back, and Paul probably knows what I'm talking about, and he can type it in, or Keith or somebody. You cannot take back exactly what someone said. Remember when you were in the third grade, they made you play the game telephone? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And they would make you a fourth grade or 10th grade, or you could do it at any age. You could do it right now. I could do it right now if we were able to. You put people right in the line, straight line, and one person whispers in the ear a statement, a quote, a phrase, or whatever they wanted. No, it was called operator. I'm sorry, not telephone, operator. And you whisper to the first person. That person has to whisper to everybody down the line, right?
Right. Right, I remember right. That.
You were told to say exactly what you heard, right?
Right.
And that's what happened. Everybody hears something different. Again, you said, I don't think the management around here is that bad. All they heard is the two words, management bad. Now they're going to go and say, Lisa thinks the management around here stinks. Because they got to fill in the blanks. They know you said more than those two words. They don't remember what. Some people are doing it maliciously. But sometimes it's just innocently, just like it's in that game. And that's what that game proves. The game is done to help me that you need to not repeat ever what someone tells you. That's why they do that game.
Right. I feel that.
Yeah, it's not a game like Ring Around the Rosie. You just play that game for fun. It's not a game like Hide, Go Seek. No, it's not a game like Musical Chairs. That game is a learning tool. They do it at all levels because they're trying to teach people how to not say something someone else told you ever. never good to do that unless you have the person in the room to defend themselves. But go ahead.
Yeah, I think that, and that was another angle that I came at the person and persons that do this. Instead, if someone asks you what I said, tell them to ask me. I can tell you better than the next person can. And that's all
exactly.
I expect from people.
Exactly. Exactly. That's it. That's it. Okay. Paul said, Robert Ringer said, there is no protection from someone that is willing to go all the way and tell the big lie. Exactly.
That's true.
Yeah. So here's the thing. You, again, then whatever you say to them has to be something that you're okay that it may get twisted.
Right. And I don't want anything twisted. So that's why I said I'm going to do it a whole different way from here on out.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. That's, you know, right. We have to do it a whole way, you know, here on out. Remember, we've learned that the tongue is a deadly weapon. And people that don't look at it like that. They just look at, like, they think they may even be trying to help by maybe spreading the word on the topic that whatever it was that you could have been speaking about. So they may feel they have, you know, a legitimate right to go and say it to someone. But at the same time, they really don't. They think they do. Sometimes that could be a way to manipulate the situation. Some people feel that if I can shed a negative light on this person or that person, that will make me shine a little bit brighter. They don't realize, I learned this from a retail job that I had. And in this retail field, there were, you know, the store clerks, then we had the assistant managers, then we had the managers, and then we had the district managers. Of course, the chain is that there's more assistant managers than there are managers, and even fewer district managers. So what do you think happens? People trying to get a promotion, there's smaller opportunities. So when there are smaller opportunities, then you have, what is it, the supply and demand? When you have a greater demand and fewer supplies, that's how price goes higher. So here you have, so the stakes are raised. You have people who will do more cutthroat type things to get to that top. And but here's the thing. The managers, for instance, let's just say you are an assistant manager and you have staff under you, the salespeople under you. Well, you're fine with each salesperson coming to you snitching on one another because that helps you know who's not doing their job, whatever. However, that same snitch isn't somebody that you want to promote to assistant manager level because now they're going to snitch on you to the manager. So snitches rarely are able to go really high. It really has to be unless the person who you're snitching to is two or three levels above you. In other words, the person that you're snitching to will never let you get on their level, I should say, because they know that then you'll snitch on them. So some people who want to grow, they know this, and they'll snitch to a person two or three levels above them because then that person will have more of an allegiance with you. Now, that's what I saw just working in one company. I worked there for 4 years, though, and I saw that. And it was almost hilarious that these snitches, so then the assistant managers were the same. The assistant managers would snitch on each other to the district manager. Well, the district manager is fine with you. They'll help you get to be a manager, because that's what, yeah. But they're not going to help you get to be a district manager, because they know you'll snitch on them to the vice president or the regional manager. And that's just how it works. So some people, these are just workplace, what would you call this? We call it workplace behavior. It's workplace behavior. And it's indicative of most workplaces where this stuff is allowed. It can happen anywhere. If it's allowed to happen. So I don't know, did that answer your question?
Yeah, I do. I understand it. It was the main point that you made when a person tries to shine a negative light on you to make them look better. I think more so that's what's going on in my situations, because more than one person will do it. And where in representation, you have to have integrity and you have to be trusted. So on the lower level, the people are trying to make me seem untrustworthy, not realizing that at the decision-making level, that's where it's most important. And as long as I have the confidence of those that I rely on to make the right decision for my clients, I'm good to go. The people on the other level, I'm just going to have to cut them off, just totally.
Yeah, workplace behavior is really an interesting thing. Stephen P. Robbins is sort of an expert on organizational behavior. So if you want to look him up, he is the author of the book that we studied, as actually the one that we use to teach organizational behavior. But it's also the one that we use to study organizational behavior. And again, it's that culture of that organization. You know, culture, again, comes from the top down, not the other way around. And it is something that is like a system. It's the system of how the organization works. Some organizations are, you know, more innovative, and they want to grow and be very progressive. You see, some companies are, you know, they're people oriented, you know, very family oriented. Everybody helps everyone. You ever seen those kind of companies like that?
And those companies work.
Yeah, those. Well, that's why you had that. Who was it? Forbes or whoever came out with the 100 best companies to work for in America, whichever magazine that was, who prints that every year, because, and they've done the best practices, they've got the benchmarks. So there are companies who strive to get on the top of that list. But some cultures are very weak, where bullies are able to come in and set up shop, or individuals who are jealous and like to hold other people down or don't know how to be a part of the team, those individuals can get inside of the organization when there's a very weak culture. But when there's a very strong culture, a very positive strong culture, because you can have a strong dysfunctional culture. But again, the culture is set by the CEO. So for those of you who have just started a business or have your own business, make sure that you understand this principle and that you're setting the tone for the culture of your organization and how you want things to flow in your organization, not just for your employees, but also for your customers. So culture sometimes, they are so strong, it does impact the behavior of the other employees. It does impact the behavior of the other employees. So let's talk for just one quick second about this cyberbullying. So, Lisa, have you had to deal with many of those cases yet?
No, I haven't had any of those. And it's really, at one time I thought that I couldn't see someone bullying me on the computer, but as I just like read something that someone wrote to me about a situation, and I felt bullied. So now I do understand that. You know, people can aim at your credibility. They aim at your dignity. And it's in print for everybody to see.
Yeah. Isn't that horrible?
Yeah, and then it's sad because people have lost their lives behind that.
Right, and we've heard of cyberbullying as it relates to children with their peers and these teenagers. We had right here in New Jersey, about 7 or 8 teenage girls that they wanted to you know, charge them criminally with this cyber bullying. But even for adults now, and they have examples of cyber bullying at work, they use electronic means. So this would be things like offensive emails, sending offensive emails to a colleague, even if it's supposed to be a joke in which a person might feel offended. Got to be careful. And, you know, I already, you know, never really accept those people send you all those things through email. Sometimes they're sexual-based and they're funny and all that stuff. I never got into that, never. I don't even like for people. And I used to, when I'm up speaking and I was getting people, you know, don't send those to me from your job because I'm not going to open. If you send them to me at work, I'm not going to even open them. And not that I'm being mean or anything like that, but I just never got it. And I would rather send you a motivational message or 10 steps to turning your life around. But, hey, I'm not knocking it. Somebody else does it. But I just didn't want people to get offensive when I don't respond back. But I just let people know that, you know, you might want to stop sending all that too because the company finds out you may not have a job for long, but, you know, companies seem to like it. I've even gotten some a time or two from higher up, so I guess everybody kind of likes doing that. But it could be an email threat. This can also include this relatively inoffensive messages in terms of content. See, there you go. Some implied meaning. Got to be careful now. Posting blogs and comments left on social networking sites. Watch out, Facebook people. You're on Facebook. Your coworkers on Facebook. You don't know if your coworker is sharing that with your manager. You have no idea. Your manager, naturally, you're not going to accept your manager to be your friend. But what if your coworker shares it with your supervisor or your manager, right?
That's true.
Now, I have a Facebook page, and I know some people say to me, well, Lisa, you know, you're always posting some event. Either I'm posting a workshop, a seminar, a webinar, something like that, something motivational, something encouraging. People say, oh, she does that probably too much. And other people are posting, oh, let's go get drunk, let's go do this, let's toast it up, I'm about to take a bath, all that. I don't need to know you're taking a bath, so go take it. Why don't you know? So, you see, people need to be really careful what they're putting on Facebook. Now, I understand that's what Facebook was created for. I understand that when they first started it for social. But it has taken on a different reason, for lack of a better word. It's something different now. Now, companies are using it to do networking in terms of customers. And so everybody now has a page, CNN, ABC, Walmart. Almost every company has a Facebook page. So therefore, that means your company could be on Facebook as well. And again, someone in the company sees your post. So though we know it started out being for all this mafia wars and you inform Bill with somebody and that's fine. And people on there posting the nightclubs they're in and the partying that they're doing or whatever. I'm just saying. And who is with this and this and that and the cursing and stuff like that. Well, don't be surprised if your coworkers and your managers are now looking at you in a different light. My coworkers, they see what I do on because I have people from my job on my Facebook page. And they can run back and say, oh, Elisa's giving another seminar on empowerment. Let them tell that. I hope they do tell. I hope the company says, and will you do one for us, Elisa? We need some empowerment around here. I hope they do go and tell what I'm doing on Facebook or Blog Talk Radio. Same thing on Blog Talk Radio. Let them go and tell. I hope they do. I hope they do go back and say, oh, yeah, she's going to Maryland to do a workshop on workplace bullying. I would love for them to tell that. I would love for them to tell, she's a Bond girl. Thanks, Paul. I'll always remember you for that. We're Bond girls. We're intelligent. We're businesswomen. And we're independent. Go spread the word that I have a collaboration and a friend in Tokyo, Japan. I want them to tell that. But I'm not going to put on there that, you know, I'm going over to blah, 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 and we're going to have our drinks, and, you know, we're going to lay one on, and, you know, and I'm going to this club's Friday nights, this and this. No, I'm not going to put that on there. And I'll meet you there, and who wants to come with me, and all that stuff. No.
Coach Melissa, you had said that you don't like the emails that come from work. I'm glad you mentioned that. Sometimes you have to be careful about emails that come from companies because a lot of company computers are infected. So beware about downloads that come from those companies, number one. And number two, inspirational messages are beautiful, but what I hate is the chains that they attach to them. If you send this to 15 people, something good will happen. I think I should be able to make that decision by myself. And when people put chains on the end of something positive, I take it as a threat. You know, it's almost
you
like you're
what?
Saying.
You're right. Go ahead. It's almost like saying what?
It's almost like saying, if you don't do what I want you to do, something bad's going to happen to your family or you. And I don't like that kind of karma in any way, form, or fashion. So I will sometimes forward the messages are beautiful, but I'll take the chain off the bottom.
Okay. Yeah, that's, and I used to say something like that, Lisa. They would say, I would say, well, they would say, oh, you know, you do this, this, and that, and you're going to get a blessing from the Lord. Oh, no, I'm going to get blessed regardless of whether I send this out. But I'm not saying that, you know, again, I'm not knocking anyone who does that and believes in that because I also know enough to know that what you believe you will receive. I also know that, too. So for those people who do believe it, they do typically receive whatever it is that they're passing. If you believe that you sending that out is going to get you a blessing, well, it is because what you believe is what you're going to get. That's why people who believe that they'll fail do fail, and those who believe that they succeed, they do succeed. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. So if you think that that works for you, it will work for you. But I don't think it'll work for me, nor do I want it to. I mean, that's just me personally. I don't. So does that stop people from sending them to me? Absolutely not. Have I said it from the pulpits and every other platform I've been on? Yes, I have. And people still do, and it's okay. I'm not saying you have to, because I may be in your, there are things I send out that people probably say, I wish you would not send me another invite to a motivational speech because I'm not into motivation or empowerment. I'm not into bettering myself. I understand that. There are a lot of people who are not. There are people who think what we're doing right here every morning at 7 a.m. is stupid. They don't think this is no value to them whatsoever. They believe that life just happens. You have no control over nothing. They just believe that you go along and whatever comes your way, and there you have it. That's what they believe. So everyone has a right to their belief, okay? And that's what they believe because you're going to get just what you believe. If you believe that you are a super success, at whatever it is you're doing, sports, recreation, education, business, coworker, worker, mother, parent, sibling, whatever it is, if you believe that you are a super success at that, that's what you're going to be. That's what you're going to have because that's what you're going to seek to do. And once you start doing it, well, you will have it. Once you do it, you will have it. It's how it works. It's how it works. You will have everything that you say that you're going to have if you believe it. Oh, wow. We have phone calls here. Let me open up these phone lines. 1 second, Lisa. Can you hold on?
Yes, I'll be here.
Don't go away. We're going to take some more points on cyberbullying. Area code 513. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, good morning, Coach, and good morning, everyone. I just thought of something funny really quick when you all were talking about the snitching. it reminded me of an old job that I had a while back, and they used to call it dry snitching. And I had never really heard that term before other than on this particular job. And it would be dry snitching was when it could even be like a coworker slash friend or buddy, if you will, on the job. And he would say things about you or something that you've done that you really shouldn't have done, or at, like maybe left early or took too long of a lunch or something in front of your employer. But it was supposed to be like a joke or something like that. And they would bring up things about you inconspicuously, like in front of your employer. And they would call it dry snitching when you did it. And so it just reminded me of all of that, because I don't get any of that now because I am the employer. So it just took me back a few years. And I thought it was kind of funny because a lot of times at work, even your own buddies may say things, you know, about your work habits in front of, even if it's taking ink pens, or it could be small things. And then they some kind of way incidentally say it in front of the boss, and we would call it dry snitching. But that was all. It just tickled me, just, you know, hearing all of the snitching stuff, and where does it get you, like you said, nowhere at the end of the day. But that was all.
And tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Hope Harper, and I'm calling from Cincinnati, Ohio. And I love the show, and I listen to it every morning.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you're not.
And I love what Lisa.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I love what Lisa is saying, too, the other Lisa that you have on there. I'm enjoying her comments.
Thank you so much.
And just so that you know, Lisa Hope is my absolute baby sister. And so she's there in Cincinnati, my hometown. And she is a Bond girl. She's a Bond girl, Paul. She's intelligent, a businesswoman, and she is very independent. She's there running her drive.
One last thing, Lisa, before I say nothing else, I didn't want to forget. Thank you for the tidbit that if you are a owner, you are setting the groundwork for this type of fabric, starting stuff like that. Like, say, if I say something to one of my employees about another one, you made me think anyway. If I say something to one employee about another employee, I'm setting the groundwork for
culture.
That type of culture here,
culture.
And I do not want to do that. So I thank you for that this morning. That was very powerful for me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And then all next week, we will be dealing with things to help the small business grow and setting the tone for your management strategies, your leadership strategies, and how that you want your culture. What is the culture of your organization? Because we have to get new business owners out of the mindset that just because you have one employee today that you don't need to know this, because you may end up with 50 employees the next day or the next year. So you want to be always ahead of the game. You want the edge. You want to be in front of the eight ball, so to speak. So we want to be able to bring those topics to you right here on The Coach with Lisa. So we thank you, Hope. We celebrate. We know you are into your fourth year of owning your dry cleaners there at 8876 Coleraine Avenue in Cincinnati, Ohio.
That's right.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. 513-245-2246. For those of you, did I get that right?
Yes.
Yes. For those of you who are in the Cincinnati area, or if you fly into Cincinnati, Ohio, please visit her. Even if your clothes are already clean, just stop in and say hello to the Coach Lisa's sister. If you know anyone who lives there, we kindly and gently ask you to patronize her business. She's a minority woman-owned business in the Cincinnati area. So Fridays, we do business shout-out anyway. So
congratulations. I think you started your business 4 years ago, January or February?
February, the 1st of 07.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So we
Next month we'll be celebrating 4 years.
All month long, we're going to have you come back on and tell us some of the specials that you have going on for your cleaners. I know you're doing specials with some different groups in the community, whether they be fire, police officers or pastors and different people that wear suits and things of that nature. So wonderful, and thank you for that. That was good, Hope. We're going to talk about that offline because I know you have to go back in where the presses are loud and things of that nature. But we're gonna talk a little bit more about that snitching, that, what do you call it, silent snitching?
Dry snitching.
I love that.
Yeah, okay, and it's where you're snitching, but you're acting like you're not. You know, you're snitching, you're talking in front of the boss about something you shouldn't be saying about another coworker. I'm sorry, yeah.
We got you. That's good. I love it. I love it. All right. Thank you, Hope Harper.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. One of our main supporters of the Coach Lalisa Show. And also we're going to be, anyway, so here she is. As soon as we get to Cincinnati, we will do a live taping of the Coach Lalisa Show right there in her store. So here's the thing, that dry snitching where it could be your friend. Your friend. You even bought them lunch a time or two. You've been to their house. You've babysat their children. They know a lot of stuff about you, and they've heard you say a lot of things. They're in front of the coworker or the supervisor or the manager, and something slips out, and they're, oops, they didn't mean to. They call that dry snitching. See, we knew it was happening. Now we're going to open up this other phone line, but Lisa, did you want to make a comment about that?
Yeah, you know what? I love that. That's exactly, it's all making sense. She helped me out a whole lot. I appreciate that. Coach, I wrote a little something about 11 years ago called Hearsay that really fits this topic. And when you get a moment, I want to share it with the listeners.
Okay. So let's take this other caller, and then we will come back to you. Good morning, 301. This time I got it right. Area code, you're on the – tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Mrs. Berry from Maryland.
Awesome. Berry, yes. Morning.
How are you? Fine, you both, Lisa's. It's good to hear your voices this morning. The dry snitching is so real. It's just so real. I remember a situation that I was at, and this is not even at work, but this was at school. It was a new acquaintance, and we had lunch, and then we had dinner, and we were just conversing. I thought it was general knowledge about myself, and she was sharing general knowledge. Wasn't no in-depth details, and I found later on that when to pull, I guess, influential knowledge about classmates in a cohort, that my name was thrown out there, and it was like dry snitching. I was saying, like, well, what purpose was that? And once again, that was to be influential for that person to be in the inner network of the class leadership, I guess, quote unquote. And it, to me, didn't make sense because you're paying for school and you're paying to get the degree. That's one thing. And number two, the emailing system is very real. The archives of corporations and different locales all have a recording. And I believe that when we apply for different jobs, that they go on Facebook. Someone is there going on Facebook to see the character. And based on the characterization that you are out on Facebook, will bring you into a position in a job just to be bullied. So all of that to me, gives me understanding of integrity and dignity, and to open up yourself for attack in those areas. And my mother used to always say, if you have nothing else, carry your integrity to the highest level, because the only thing that we have is our name. And your name can go far beyond than you could literally physically can go. So the integrity and dignity of emails and Facebook is extremely important.
That's so true. You know, also colleges are looking at the Facebook pages, too, when they look for the character of the students they bring in.
Yes. Yes, they do.
I know. I've heard a few applications. Also, Lisa, I also think, too,
I believe, and someone correct me, the presidential administration, I think it was under Bush or was it under his father, kind of took that Privacy Act from us to be explored as citizens without power, but to be, lack of a better word, controlled, you know,
right,
to be made to do certain things as a society or a nation of people, you know, because the amendment, the Constitution, state privacy. I believe it's the amendment, the First Amendment, through the First, Third, and Fifth Amendment, that we people of America were to stand on the truth and the act of our privacy to be integrity and to be used with dignity, that even our president of this country is attacked in their private life.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah. There's a lot that could be said on that, and you know, we're in a time now where we have to have such a greater count for ourselves. You know, that's we've kind of moved into that arena where now we have to do that. We have to just take the responsibility and the accountability. And yes, we have lost with all of the technology. Most people, you know, were right there celebrating the advancement. You know, not everyone, but a lot of people were celebrating the advancements of technology because they were making our lives, you know, easier in so many ways. However, we sometimes overlooked with every advancement, we were giving up something. You see? So, and, you know, for instance, I remember there was a time when myself, and then I had a sibling, just would get utterly lost whenever there was time to drive somewhere. Just utterly lost. I'm talking about grown women in the car literally crying because we're lost.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God had to give us husbands pretty early on because, you know, we had these husbands and we would just call up. Well, we wouldn't even call them up at that point because we didn't have cell phones. But, and even when we did get the cell phones, okay, we would call them up and help us navigate our way. And then what happened, they developed, and I'm sure we weren't the only ones crying, not just because we were women, but there were other people also utterly lost. But somehow I've always kind of heard that men always had a little bit better at that. Not that women don't. I'm not saying that, but most of you know what I'm talking about. And then they came out with these GPS, the GPS system. Well, the GPS system solved a lot of our problems. Problems for people like myself and my sister.
Hey.
But that's a technological advantage. But look at what we had to give up. So the commercials will come on and tell you about all of the benefits and the value of a thing, but they're not going to ever tell you what you got to give up to get that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the handheld toys that they came out with. Parents flocked to the stores to get it. I mean, some stores, they would even videotape the stores. There would be long lines. If they were to put that game on sale or the day the game comes out, the parents are in a long line waiting to get it for the child. Again, showing you all the benefits of it, but never showing you what's lost because of that technological advance. And the guy talked about that a little bit, even in the movie Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. So, you know, same thing at work, you know, a lot of new processing that we welcome. You know, what are we giving up? Same thing with internet and emails. You know, everybody was complaining about how long it took a response or an answer from a customer or supplier or from a team member in another place. And so they create these advancements. But then we lose parts of our freedom and our identity and other things. Look at online banking. There are many, many people who cannot imagine banking without being online. They just can't even fathom getting in the car, driving over to the bank, standing. They can't even imagine that anymore because you can sit online and pay a bill with the click of your mouse. But look at what we're giving up. Now we have to have our information online. Others can see and share it. The same thing with the social networking. Some of us, I love the ease. I absolutely adore it. Going onto Facebook, putting one flyer, saving myself a trip to the post office, saving myself a 35-cent, 40-cent stamp, whatever. I can sit on my sofa, a flyer that literally thousands, if not millions, could see. But what did I have to give up in order to do that? I love being able to connect with my sister in Maryland. I mean, in Dallas. I hadn't talked to my sister in a long time. And how did I connect with her? On Facebook.
Same thing happened to me.
I have a girlfriend I hadn't hung out with since ninth grade. Her daughter is now a mother and on Facebook posting spiritual and motivational quotes. I love seeing that. I haven't seen the girl since she was like, you know, a kid. So we get so much, but at the same time, we give up a lot. And so anyway, go ahead, Lisa, with that answer theory. I think that was Lisa. What were you going to say?
Huh? Oh, you asked me?
No, I don't know. Somebody was about to make a comment.
Oh, go ahead. I'll comment to that, Lisa. And that was the purpose of Facebook, was to communicate. To be able to communicate positive, constructive communication from one part of the country to the other part of the country. But we know evil always lurks its head up to destroy that which is good and that which is for the empowerment of God's people. And so because it has happened, now it has tainted all of the things that could go forth to enhance the lives of people, especially family life that America has little standard statutes for. Of course, it has tainted the empowerment for the American people to do business and to establish for a better country, you know. And because of the evilness that people have distorted, the spirit, I'm going to take it out of context of people, the spirit that has distorted people's minds and way of looking at life has prohibited the good of it. And so we, people, and knowing that this should know and should realize by now, this is a spirit and not an individual, but the spirit that has enforced, engulfed one to do negative, to hurt, to try to take control and to empower themselves which is not correct, that does not really, really empower what the purpose of it. If it was continuously based on what it was constructed to do, then America might have more economic than it does have, and we, the people, may not be suffering culturally as bad. But because of the evil and the dark spirit of principalities and high heavenly places, because it's all satellite, you know, there's no control once it's out there, you know. We can never grab it back. So now one who would like to go into business may be apprehensive about it now. One who may want to communicate or venture to relocate to someplace else may be really apprehensive about that, because once it is pushed to send on the computer, you cannot bring it back.
Nope, you can't get it back. Nope,
and there's no
why.
Control. And also I want to say, too, is that you cannot control where it lies once it's gone.
It's what they call it, cyberspace. It's in space.
Yes.
It's out there. Just like in the universe, we say, oh, from the universe, I'm going to get my riches, my this, my that, from the universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's just out there. So then there's the cyber, basically the cyber universe. It's out there. That's why you can go to Google and just click, 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 type a word, and all of this information, knowledge will come to you. It's everything that's out there will come to you if you type in the right word. So again, that serves us on one end, because I know when I'm researching something, I love it to be able to put out on Google one word and get so many hits about where I can look that word up further and what is going on with that particular word or concept. I love that. And I'm sure as to most students and or people, anything I want to know, people, I tell my students, all knowledge, and I'm not talking about scripture right now, I'm just saying, just all the knowledge that is available right now in the world is at your fingertips. Sure, you can still go to the libraries, and that's your must. But right now, you can just go right there and Google. And just like Kiva had said in the chat room, she says that every individual should go to Google, type in your name several different ways. Like for me, I got to type in Lalisa J. Williams. I also got to type in Lalisa Williams. Type in your name and see what comes up. You might be surprised. I did this about 6 years ago, and my sister would start joking. She used to joke when I would go places to speak or whatever, and she would be there. My other sisters, she would joke and say, just Google her. And all of these coming up, everything that you've done. But again, now if you're not doing anything, don't worry. Your name ain't going to come up. I promise you. If you don't do anything, your name will not show. But if you're doing things like having conferences, if you are the head of some organization, that organization has a website, your name will come up. Anybody who has a website and you do something, anything in conjunction with their website, your name is going to show up. Blog Talk, you got a Blog Talk page, your name is going to show up. You have an event at some place, and then there are other people who will get your information, other media outlets, like, for instance, if you write an article and you post that article in one place, you may just post it on your website. Other people will pull from that because of those tags. You know how they ask you to put in those tag words? Well, those tag words will place your information in other places that you know not of. So, if you are doing things with other people, especially, you should put your name in and see what is out there. And also, I want to say to Hope Harper, if you're still listening in the Cincinnati area, a self-guided, one of our listeners who is obviously knows people in the Kentucky area, wanted to know if you were interested in opening or expanding your dry cleaning business to mm-hmm. Kentucky. Hope you let me know, and then I'll get that information to Mr. Self-Guided. And that's great here. I love it when there's real networking taking place right here on the Coach Lalisa Show. We know there is, so we're very happy and excited about that, because we also had a young lady get a journalist internship offer out of listening to the show, and we know some others have connected with Paul on some of the work that he does. He does audio books. Also, we have people connecting with Miss Elaine, and we gotta bring her on and hear more about a business that she has where it's like a day spa where you go for one day and kind of get pampered and revived, restored, renewed. That's an awesome, awesome, awesome place in North Carolina. We bring her on. We have a wonderful guest coming on Monday, so please make sure you tune in. It's Terry Clay. You can Google her. See, now, you know, you want to know about anybody, just Google them. Now, again, if they're not doing anything, you're not going to find out anything. But if they're doing things, conferences, workshops, seminars, author, singer, dancer, whatever, they have any kind of business, they're going to be coming up. If they've spoken at various places, their domains will show up. And go see what shows up on your name. And also, Paul says that knowledge is not power. It's potential power. It needs the right action to have power. You know, see why we need Paul? He always lends those types of thoughts. He has insightful revelation annoying. That's a new word I just made up. He's always bringing that stuff. So you hear people say all the time, oh, knowledge is power, knowledge is power. Well, we know a lot of homeless people who absolutely have no money, who had a lot of knowledge. So it's what you do with the knowledge that will give you power. And if you think you have power, guess what? You will have it, even if you don't have knowledge. You must have, there's another thing that we'll talk about at some point in time, self-efficacy, where you have to believe that you are all that in terms of God has given you every talent and skill and ability that you need to be the success in life that you want to be. Everything that you need in life, God has given you the talents, the tools, and the abilities to get it done. Now, you may feel like you can't get it done. Well, you won't get it done if you don't take one step. You must take a step. It may not be the right step. It may not be your best step, but you must step nonetheless. So we also want to welcome 216 area code 216. Welcome to the Coastal Lisa Show. We have about 5 minutes left to the show. Now I'm going to ask Lisa, all the way on the West Coast, we thank you for being with us. We thank all of you for staying with us. This extra time we added to the show, again, because of my ability to work from home today, so I don't have to rush out. But it is snowing here, so I'm sure a lot of the schools are closed, or a lot of companies are probably on a delayed opening because we got about 8 inches last night through the night. But it doesn't seem the roads seem to be opening up. So for those of you who are in the New Jersey area, if you still want to make it to the sister-to-sister business networking one-year anniversary celebration extravaganza, please, please, please call me. I still have a couple of tickets that I need to get rid of. The tickets are $25 each to support that wonderful, wonderful organization. Many of you heard from their CEO last week and a half ago. And also, again, congratulations to all of you business owners and those of you who are going to open businesses this year. I know I've gotten contacted by one of you at least that you want to open your own business and go forward in that. So we're going to be helping you with some small business things next week. But Monday we have Terry Craig, and Wednesday we have Mr. Versi Walker, as we do each and every Wednesday. So, Lisa, a couple of closing remarks for you, and then we'll hear from Insafiri and anyone else who wants to share in these last few minutes.
Okay. I'm going to make this really quick. This is something I put together, and it sets, it's kind of the tone that we set today for this show, and thank you for this. It's called Hearsay. How can you know a story if you only hear one side? Form an opinion, rename the characters, and have the nerve to sympathize. The lonely heart has much to say, but seldom is sincere. The simple mind has open ears and always wants to hear, but the one complex will understand. They'll know that parts are missing. They humbly hold opinions and thoughts. They're there to only listen. They know that all the noise that's made is mostly blowing off steam, and usually knows the other side is not bad as it seems. So in support, just listen as you hear every word and understand this story's based on just the part you heard. Thanks.
That was perfect. That was awesome. Wow. That was really good. Yeah. Oh, wonderful. That was great. Yeah, so there's a way to listen. There's a way to share information that you hear that others, if you have other people telling you things, the best way to share what someone else has told you, the best way to do that is to not share it at all.
Oh, true.
The best way to share. Now, get this. Be loud and clear. Please share with everyone the Lisa Show. You have every right. I'm giving you permission. Share. You see? Lisa, Hope, and Safiri?
Yes.
The things that people should share, they don't share.
Right.
That's true.
So that's true.
Well, I'm sharing. I'm bringing a new friend every day. I'm sharing. I brought one this morning.
You go, girl. And you know what? I can start giving some prizes out to people who bring the most listeners. Here's the thing. Instead of being on the job or at home or at wherever talking about what Sally or Mark or Bill doesn't have, why don't you tell them to tune into the Coach Lisa Show or read this book? So we have to learn to share. It's human nature to share. We know it. He said, go tell the world. We know it's our nature to share. There's nothing wrong with sharing information. Where would you be if no one shared anything with you?
Nowhere.
Exactly. So we understand the power of sharing. It's the problem of what we're sharing.
Right.
That's what makes you... Yeah, that's what makes you either grow or slow, is that it's what you're sharing, not that you're sharing. We want you to share. But we want you to share things that are going to build people up, encourage them, and help them be better. So you heard that right here on the Coach and Lisa Show. That's all we have time for this morning. Go have an awesome, awesome, powerful week. And for those of you who are around on Sunday and you have nothing to do at 6 o'clock, I have an interview today. I'm sorry, Kiva has a radio show, and I will be on her show today at 10 a.m.
Wonderful.
So you tune in to the Kiva Renee Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. She's going to interview me. I'm not quite sure what she's going to ask. Try to be on point. But don't forget, Monday we have Terry Clay, Kiva, K-E-V-A, Renee, R-E-N-E-E, 10 o'clock if you have time. Sunday, if you can, Sisters in the Spirit. So S-I-S-T-E-R-S, the letter N, the S-P-I-R-I-T. Until next week, have a wonderful, wonderful, powerful weekend. Don't say anything that you heard someone else say. Remember to keep it inside. Say something positive, though, to help someone grow. Tell them how to start a business, how to grow a business, how to be a better employee, how to be a better manager, how to be a better leader. Tell them that they're great, that they're wonderful. And and come back here next week. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.